It was 2025 when Ryan Trahan, who is a content producer and YouTuber, decided that he and his wife Haley wanted to raise money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. So they set out on a quest to visit all 50 of the United States in 50 days to raise funds. Now, their goal originally was to raise $1 million. But Ryan has a massive following and a lot of influence, and they raised over $11.5 million for St. Jude. Incredible impact and a wonderful story. And recently, the Gallup organization published their Global Happiness Report. And in one of the chapters of the Global Happiness Report, researchers Jonathan Haidt and Zach Rausch cited that social media is very damaging to adolescents. And they relied heavily on population-level data to make the argument that social media is not just correlated with increased levels of depression and anxiety, they make the argument it's a cause. So is social media a good thing? Or is social media a bad thing? How should we think, as followers of Jesus, about social media? So we're in the middle of the series called Solomon Gets a Smartphone. What we're doing is we're applying and looking at God's ancient and eternal wisdom from his word and applying it to our modern technology. And so we're gonna continue in the series today in Proverbs chapter 1. So if you have a Bible, you can open it up to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. It's found on page 932 of your blue Bible. And as you are turning there, Solomon is a very wise man. God gave him a lot of wisdom. The man was very wealthy. He was very influential. And in Solomon's day, he lived in the ancient Near East, and he applies a lot of kind of his own contents and context of the day to his writings. And so in Solomon's day, if you wanted to get something done, the place that you went to do it was the city gate. The city gate was the kind of the epicenter of commerce and where the community would come and gather. If you had a judgment that you needed, you had some legal issues and you wanted recourse for it, you went to the city gate. If you needed work, you went to the city gate to find employment. If you wanted to connect with other people from the community, you went to the city gate. And if you just wanted to hear what was going on, kind of the news of the day, you went to the city gate. And Solomon describes for us that wisdom, God's wisdom, is also found at the city gate, right in the midst of where their social connections were happening. Here's what he writes about wisdom being at the social gate. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On the top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call and pay no attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock you when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm and disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when disaster and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways. They will be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Okay, powerful speech. Here, Solomon has wisdom being personified as Lady Wisdom, and her speech is a little harsh, isn't it? I mean, a little intense, and you read that, and you're thinking, okay, what's going on here that wisdom would say, if you don't listen to me, then I'm going to laugh when disaster falls on you. And the reason is because wisdom is saying that you're just going to eat the fruit of your ways. That what wisdom is saying is that there's a couple different ways to go in life, and there are consequences for whichever path and whichever way you choose to walk. And wisdom is saying, I'm right here in the middle of the city. I'm right here at the city gate, very publicly. I'm climbing up on a wall to try to get your attention to declare to you do not go this way, it is bad, it's going to lead to ruin and overwhelm. Go this way, it leads to safety and prosperity. And wisdom is saying, I'm here publicly telling you what to do. You need to listen. Which is an interesting contrast, because in chapter 2 of Proverbs, which we started our series with a couple weeks ago, Solomon tells us that we're supposed to seek after wisdom, that we should search for it like hidden treasure. Now, these aren't in conflict. He's not saying that we need to search after wisdom because wisdom is hidden. It's not. Wisdom is right here. It's very public. God has given to us wisdom, and he's saying the reason you need to search after it as if it was hidden treasure is because he's confident you're going to find it if you search for it, because wisdom makes herself known. The trouble is most people don't listen to wisdom. That's why wisdom is frustrated here. Because here she is in the middle of the city gate, and she's yelling to everybody, go this way, avoid this way, and everybody just walks right past her and continues down the wrong road. When you read that, you're like, why would that even be a choice? Like, who would do that? Like, when you see the contrast, I mean, it's not hard to say, like, well, obviously, wisdom is a better way to live. We all want to live this way. So then why do so many people walk this way? And the reason that so many people go the way of folly is because so many people are going that way. Everybody's heading this way. And so you're like, well, everybody else is going this way. So this must be the way to go. And nobody's going this way. So we all must go this way. And instead of listening to wisdom, we just follow the crowd. And that's the frustration that wisdom has. And the options there, the two paths, the path of folly and the path of wisdom, this is true throughout wisdom literature in the Bible. Now, God routinely comes back to that you have to make a choice. And whichever path you choose to walk is going to take you someplace. And actually, there has been developed from this then kind of what's called the principle of the path. And so if you're a note taker, you may want to write this down. This won't be the most profound thing I've ever said to you, but it is true. Here's the principle of the path. So here it is. The principle of the path is that a path leads to where it goes. It's true. Path leads to where it goes. So if you're on a path and you continue on that path, you are going to go where that path goes. That's just how that works. And it doesn't matter whether you want to go that way or not. That's where you're heading, because that's the path that you're on. So let's just say that you wanted to go to New York City. Maybe you have tickets to Broadway. Maybe you even have a job offer from a prestigious firm on Wall Street. And so you're going to move to New York City, and you're telling everybody. You're selling your stuff. You're going to New York City. You're going to pack your car up. You're heading over there. You can show people your job offer. You can show them the piece of paper. You can point to the tickets that you have. Like, these are the tickets to Broadway. I'm going. You can be just all set on going to New York. And you hop on Interstate 35, and as long as you stay on Interstate 35, it does not matter how deeply you want to go there, how excited you are to be there, how much you believe you're going to go there. You are never going to get to New York City as long as you stay on 35. And the reason is because 35 runs north and south, and you need to go east. You're just not going to get there because that's how the road goes. Now, when it comes to driving, we know that. When it comes to living, we don't. Because there are many people who declare that they're on a path someplace, but they're not anywhere near that road. There are people who tell you that this is what they're going to go do with their life, but they're not taking any meaningful steps to get there. And we see this all over the place. I mean, there are certain people who are like, I'm going to get in shape. I'm finally going to start exercising. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get buff. And they tell you how impressive they're going to become, but they're not taking any steps to get there. You're not on a path to get there. Or there are people that declared, I'm finally going to get my finances sorted out, but they're still not living below their means. And because they're still upside down on how they spend, they're never on a path to get there. There's a lot of people spiritually who want to grow spiritually, but they don't get on a path to do any sort of spiritual discipline. So if you don't attend church on a regular basis, whether you feel like it or not, but because you want to honor God with your worship, you're not engaging in studying God's word on a regular basis, if you don't have another person in your life that's helping you to follow Jesus, I care about you. It's no shame. I'm just, like, in all love and candor, I just want to say the path that you're on is not a path to spiritual growth. And if you want to get on a path to spiritual growth, you can take steps to do that. You just need to be honest about the path that you're on. Now, there are other people who are on a certain path, and they don't even realize they're on that path. So if you surround yourself with really negative people, folks who are just sarcastic and demeaning, and they're just negative, that's what you're on a path to become. And you may not realize it, you may not want to become more negative, but just by being around people like that, that's the path that you're on. And the principle of the path is the path leads to where it goes. So what does that have to do with social media? Well, social media is a path. The question is just, what's it a path to? And where is it going? So social media is a path to increased social connection. This is what social media does. It just gives you the opportunity to connect with other people. And there's two ways this works. One is that you can connect with more people, or the second way is that you can connect more with certain people. So you can go wider, or you can go deeper with certain people. That's just how social media is set up. So let's say that you decide that you're really into fishing, and you just want to learn more about fishing. Social media can be a great path to help expand your connection to learn more about fishing from more people around the world. You can learn about all sorts of bait and all sorts of strategies for fishing and connect with people that love to fish like you like to fish from anywhere in the world. Social media is a great tool to help you do that. Or it can help you learn more about somebody. So maybe your neighbor or the person that lives in your apartment just down the hall from you, maybe you know their name, you kind of remember what they do for a living, but you don't really know much about them aside from that. Well, if you happen to follow them on social media and they choose to share information, you can learn more about them. So you can find out about where they vacation and about what's going on with their kids and how they're feeling about certain things. I mean, you can go deeper with that information. The same is true for you. So for you, what you share, you can share with a wider audience, or you can go deeper. So the question then becomes, okay, so why then, if you're on social media, and why are you on it? Are you trying to connect with more people? Or are you trying to share your message with more people? Or are you trying to go deeper with certain people? Like, why are you on social media? So I know somebody, a pastor, who he and his wife have a shared social media account, and they choose to use it to go deeper with their congregation. So they choose to use it to find out about what's going on with the families in their church, so they know how to pray for people, and they know how to care for them when they're having difficult things. Now, you can argue whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but that's their why. That's why they're on social media, that's what they intend to use it for. Then I have another friend, who she is on social media because she wants to promote her business. And she wants to share her business, which is a business that she believes is really honoring to Jesus and to her faith in the Lord. And she wants to share it with as many people as possible. And social media is a great tool to help her do that. Now, I know a guy that's on Facebook, and the only reason he's on Facebook is to buy and sell things on Facebook Marketplace. That's his why. Okay, so like whatever it is, like why are you choosing to be on social media? So is it to go wider? Is it to go deeper? Is it to sell stuff? Or are you like many people I know who don't know why they're on social media? Or who will tell you that they're on social media because they just don't want to miss information? They don't want to miss out on something? And the reality is they're on social media because everybody else is. And again, no shame. But if the reality is that's your why, I just want to challenge you to say that's just not good enough. Because we should never just be on a path to just be on it. I mean, that's like merging onto 35 and just driving up and down the interstate for no reason, but there's a lot of traffic. I mean, that's not a good use of your time. And the reason that you need to know why you're on social media, if you choose to be on it, or if you're not on it, you should know why you're not on it. But the reason that that's important is because wisdom knows why. Wisdom knows why it's on the path that it's on. Wisdom is intentional about what it does. And if we're going to lead wise lives, we need to be intentional. And it's not just you that has a why. See, social media also has a why. And if you don't know why you're on social media always knows why it wants you on it, its platform. And one of those whys is gonna win. And the why of social media, and this is not a good thing or bad thing, this is just how the thing is set up, is the why of social media is to keep you engaging with its platform. That's how it's designed. So the more you scroll and the longer you scroll and the more you engage, that's its success measures. And everything is designed within any of the social media platforms to keep you scrolling and engaging and viewing. That's everything is designed to help you do that. And again, that's not a good thing or a bad thing. That's just how the thing is set up. But if you don't know why you're on it, all of a sudden you can get pulled into it. So hypothetically, maybe this has happened to you or somebody you know. Let's say that you're a fan of a local sports team. And that local sports team gets in the playoffs and they lose in the playoffs again, the season's over. Okay, I know that's hard to believe, but just go with me on it. And you're frustrated, you're sitting around your house, season's over yet again, this was gonna be the year, and you're just worked up about it, and your spouse doesn't seem as concerned about this as you are, and your dog doesn't seem to care, and so you're frustrated. And so you grab your phone and you open up whatever your favorite platform is, and you're on there, and now that you're connecting with some other fans who are also and equally as frustrated as you are. And for a few moments, there is great solidarity because it's not just you that thinks that this is frustrating. There's a bunch of people, and all of a sudden it's like, these are my people. And then you start reading more about this, and then you start seeing that there's some posts about some things that really nobody else has been reporting on. That somebody's got some inside information that the reason that this franchise is never gonna be able to be successful is because the owner has written a contract that nobody's reporting on. The media hasn't told anybody about this, and that contract is the reason that's holding everything back. And unless this thing gets solved, we're never gonna be able to win. And now you're worked up because now there's a problem, and now you know it, and you've got this inside information, and you gotta tell everybody. And so you start, you know, commenting, and you start connecting the dots, and that's why we lost 2 years ago, and this is what's going on. 90 minutes later, are you feeling better about your life? You have more perspective on things? You're ready to kind of get back and engaged with? No, like you're worked up. And the reason you're worked up is because the platform has figured out that one of the best ways to engage people is through things like lust, things like anger, and fear. And it's funny and maybe harmless when that happens over a sports team. But it is really serious when that starts happening about things that are in the news or about politics or about your faith and about the church. And the danger with this is that because there's so much content and because we're consuming so much information, it gives us the illusion that we've actually done something because we've learned something or we think we've learned something. But what have you actually done with all of this inside information about this secret contract that the owner has with the sports program? Do you think the owner is scrolling through the comment sections of social media trying to get your input on what to do? No. And can I just tell you from a leader, solutions seem simple from afar. And so, you know, you're all worked up, which is exactly what the platform wants, because now you're staying engaged in the platform. And what have you actually done? Have you made that sports franchise better? What have you really accomplished, aside from getting your heart rate up? In 1990, Neil Postman gave a caution to our society. He was concerned about the rise of the 24-hour news cycle. And he said, with all these cable news programs, all of this information coming at us gives us the illusion that we've done something when we haven't done anything, and it's just gonna make us more anxious and uptight. His article was called Informing Ourselves to Death. The reality is you and I don't need to know everything about everything. In fact, Solomon writes about that. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, here's what he says. He said, do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. And he says, for you yourself know that many times you yourself have cursed others. Solomon's point is that, listen, you don't have to hear every single thing that everybody says, because sometimes people say things they shouldn't say, and you've done that. And so, like, let's not try to know everything. And so it's okay for us to say we don't need to know everything. So again, social media is not a good thing or a bad thing, but we just have to be aware of what path it's on. And it's not just its why, it's also the why of other people. So I share this final point with you not to create fear or make you uptight, but to just make us aware that other people have a why for why they're on social media. And not all of those whys are good. And wisdom can help us to avoid wicked people. Here's what Proverbs says in chapter 2, in verse 12. You can just flip a page. It says this: wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will also save you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death and the path and her path to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. The reality is there are some people who are choosing to use the opportunity to learn more information about more people for their own personal gain and to take advantage of you. So sometimes the reason that folks online want to get to know the names of your kids or your grandkids is they want to use that information against you to try to scam you for money. Or, as David Murrow writes in his book Drowning in Screen Time, there are some people who have even darker intents. He cites a report about an agency that is trying to find online predators. And one of the ways they engage in this work is they create fake Instagram accounts of 13-year-old girls. And he writes in his book that within an hour, sometimes less, of creating an account, brand new account, pretending to be a 13-year-old girl, there are middle-aged men who are following those accounts, sending them direct messages, most of them flirtatious, some of them inappropriate, requesting inappropriate photos, and sending very inappropriate photos within an hour. If that was happening in a public place in our community, if that was going on at the Eden Prairie Mall, we would not be okay with this. If this is how grown men were treating 13-year-old girls at the Eden Prairie Mall, you would not send your child unsupervised to the mall. And I'm not saying that we need to then like shut down social media, but I am saying we ought not to just have unsupervised access for our kids, because not everybody online is good. So what do we do about all this? How do we think about this biblically? Let me give you four application points. The first three are not controversial and just kind of a summary of what we've talked about. The fourth one, I'm gonna stir the pot a little bit. So here's the first one. Know your why. Know why you are choosing to be on social media, or know why you are choosing not to be on social media. It doesn't make you better than anybody else. It doesn't mean that you're right and everybody's wrong. You just need to know why you're on this path and what you're hoping to accomplish. And then to ask, is that actually happening? So know your why. Whether you're on it or not, know why. That's what wisdom would tell you. Be aware of the path that you're on. The second is to honor God with your why. As followers of Jesus, this is just always appropriate for us. We must always make sure that whatever we choose to do, we do so in a way that is honoring to God. And then the third is just to be aware, be on guard, that there are certain people that they want to try to get information from you. Be cautious about what information you disclose and what information you share. And if you have kids, be especially careful of who's connecting with them. Okay, the fourth one is specifically toward those of us who are parents. So I'm going to say something that's going to sound really prescriptive, and it is, but it's to make a point, and then we can talk about it. If you're a parent, based on all the research, both from a secular standpoint and from Christian researchers, on all the things that we know, and because of how tempting and alluring the path of social media is, and because of its broad ability to connect people so quickly to so many various things, all of which can be good or bad, it is just not appropriate for students to be on it until they're 16. So I would say wait until 16 until their social media, although I would say to you 18 is probably better. Now, listen, we do this all the time in society. You can't have tobacco until you're 18. We don't let you vote until you're 18 because we don't think that you can make a wise decision about our leader. We don't let you rent a car until 25. So there are age limits on a lot of things, and that's because it just takes time for our minds to develop to then be able to handle the information that we're given. Same is true for social media. Now listen, if you have a really compelling case as a parent that you think that that's dumb and it shouldn't be 16, it should be 14, that's fine. It's not about the number for me, it's about the intentionality. Do you know what the age is and do you know why it's that age? Have you thought about that with your kids? Have you had that conversation? If not, it's never too late. Even if they're on social media right now and you're, as a parent, you're like, oh my goodness, I've never even thought about this. You're still the parent. And you still get to have a conversation. You can follow them on social media. You can have them get off of social media for a time. But as parents, we need to make intentional decisions for our kids. Students, the same is true for you. Please don't be on it because everybody else is on it and you're worried you're going to miss out. Be wise. Decide if you want to be on it. And if so, have a conversation with your parent. And whatever your parent says, you need to honor your parents' decision, whether you agree or not, because they're your parents. And wisdom says we need to live obedient to the rules that they set, because they're for our good. I know a guy, for instance, who's on the 18 side of things, and he's told his kids that they are not gonna have social media until they're at least 18 years old. And he's told them that he's so serious about this that if he finds out that they have a secret social media account, that there is no warnings, that there's no grace period, that this is the warning, that if that happens, he will have their phone for 12 months. That's awful for everybody. Now, you can argue, you can think that that's ridiculous and that that's an overextension. That's fine if you disagree with his specifics. My point is, he knows what path he's on and he knows why. And my encouragement to you is to know why you're on that path. What are you hoping to accomplish? And are you? And is it honoring God? At times this can feel overwhelming for us, but let me just remind us that we are not alone in this. That God has given to us his word. It is full of his wisdom. And God has given us, if you're a follower of Jesus and said yes to him, God's Holy Spirit lives in you. All the wisdom of God lives within you. And so we need to be people who are really prayerful about things like this. To just say, God, I'm really tempted. There's a lot of people that are doing this. Should I do it? And if I should, how should I engage? And those are prayers that the Holy Spirit will always answer. Because what wisdom's promise to us is at the end of chapter 1, verse 33. Wisdom says, whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Be wise in the decisions that you make when it comes to technology. God will honor and give you that wisdom. Pray for us. Father, thank you for your word, and Father, how relevant these words that are ancient really are. Father, we're thankful for your promise to be with us. Lord, we need more of your wisdom. Father, we just confess to you that this is a real challenge for many of us. And so, Father, help us to not think that social media is the problem or is the answer. But, Father, help us to be wise about who we are and whether that tool is a wise one for us to use. Give us the wisdom that we need. And then, Father, give us the courage to live for you. And so, Father, I pray right now for the student who's on social media, who feels like it's appropriate for them to be on it, but they want to be a faithful witness for you. Father, would you protect them? And would you grant them your favor, that they can be an advocate for you and point people towards you. And Father, for that other student who's hearing this message and Father is recognizing that maybe some of the angst that they're dealing with has come because of this comparison game that's fueled by social media, and they want to get off it, but they don't know how to do that. Father, would you give them a loving adult who can support them? Give them the courage, Father, to choose to walk a different path. Father, for all the parents who need to make a decision on what to do, Father, I pray that they would be prayerful, that we would be prayerful about how we engage so that we honor you most of all. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.